Good morning. It's good to see you in worship this morning. I think I'll hand over to Rosemary, who will take us through a few intimations.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. And visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. A very big thank you to everyone who helped run the coffee morning yesterday and all who came along to support it. The total at the minute is £217.50 and counting, which is excellent, so thank you all. Cycling Club C4, the next day outing is on Saturday 20th September, visiting the Carse of Gowrie. Please contact Derek on 882190 if you're interested in joining C4. Holy Communion, we will be celebrating Holy Communion on Sunday the 21st of September, and we're also taking part in Doors Open Day on 21st of September. So a busy Sunday. Lego Club. There'll be a Lego Club event in Cairnhill Church on Saturday the 27th September between 10 and 11:30 a.m. The kids get to build something from a well-known Bible story. The event is free and children need to be accompanied by a parent. Tea and coffee will be available for adults, and if you require more information, speak to Irene Scott. Harvest Thanksgiving. We'll be celebrating Harvest Thanksgiving on Sunday the 28th of September. And I've just got another wee intimation to add in that's not on the sheet, just to say that Kirk Session has arranged, or Alison has kindly arranged, first responder training to take place, how to use a defibrillator, etc., on Wednesday the 24th of September at 7 o'clock here in the church. So it was originally sort of for Kirk Session, but it's open to anyone in the congregation that would like to participate. Hilary Warnock's our trainer, and it could be very, very worthwhile for us to do. So that's 24th of September at 7 p.m. So I think Cooris and Torryburn and Limekiln's Kirk Sessions have been invited along too. So other intimations, there are further intimations on the printed sheet, which can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. Finally, for those on Zoom, here's a look at our order of service this morning. Thank you.
So let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 112, God Whose Almighty Word.
Thank you.
Almighty God, as we offer our gifts to you, we remember our dependence upon you. Receive our offering as a token of our love and of our desire to serve you in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, creator of all things, on earth and in heaven, seen and unseen, we raise our hearts and voices in praise. All creation declares your glory. When we look to the night sky, we remember the vastness of the universe. We rejoice in our Creator. When we see the wonder of nature around us, the fruitfulness of the earth, we praise our Creator. We rejoice in God the Father as Creator and Lord of all. We rejoice in God the Son as our Saviour. We rejoice in God the Spirit as life-giver. Almighty God, you bless us beyond measure. Your love is infinite. There are no bounds to your grace and mercy. With a sense of awe and wonder, we gather before you to acknowledge our dependence upon you. As we do so, we are aware of our human frailty. We know that we fail to live as we should. We do not always resist temptation. We do not always live up to the faith we profess. God of mercy, we seek your loving touch as we confess our sin and seek your forgiveness. Forgive us for the hurt we have caused to you, to each other, to your creation. Hear us now as we offer our personal confession. As we receive your forgiveness, we pray that you will give us the strength to be forgiving to those who have wronged us. And as you have blessed us, let us be a blessing to others. Our prayer is that you will guide, strengthen, and enable us, so that we may be the people you created us to be. In humility, we place our hope in you and depend upon you. We offer our praise and prayer in Jesus' name. And in the words that Jesus taught, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We sing now hymn number 143. It is a children's hymn, but it asks some very good questions that are part of the theme of our service today. Who put the colours in the rainbow?
Thank you.
on Monday evening as part of the weather forecast following the late evening news, we were reminded that the 1st of September is the beginning of meteorological autumn. We tend to associate autumn with harvest, and we will have our harvest Thanksgiving service at the end of this month. A key part of harvest Thanksgiving is a reminder that we are dependent upon the world of nature. This month, or more accurately, 1st September to 4th October, is observed by a number of Christian denominations across the planet as the season of creation. The Season of Creation 2025 celebration guide for this year says, each year from September 1 to October 4, the Christian family unites for this worldwide celebration of prayer and action to protect our common home. It is a special season where we celebrate God as creator and acknowledge creation as the divine continuing act that summons us as collaborators to love and care for the gift of all that is created. As followers of Christ from around the globe, we share a common call to care for creation. We are co-creatures and part of all that God has made. Our well-being is interwoven with the well-being of the earth. That's quite a complicated statement just to keep in our heads. Maybe we should just keep the words of the previous hymn and ask, who made all of this? The theme for 2025 is peace with creation and is based on a passage from Isaiah. Isaiah 32, 14 to 18 is going to be one of our readings this morning. In the booklet that has been prepared to tell us about the season of creation, it's also noted that this year marks the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea and hence the Nicene Creed. The Apostles' Creed is probably better known to us for a simple reason, that it is shorter than the Nicene Creed. It is more to the point and maybe less theological. One detail that can be missed when we look at the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed is the pronoun that is used. In the Apostles' Creed it says, I believe. And in the Nicene Creed, we believe. There is a sense of, in I believe, meaning I am responsible before God in terms of thought, word and action. This is one of those great truths, that I am personally responsible, and that is true of each one of us. But we believe adds something to that sense of responsibility. We believe also means responsibility before God, but it also means that we are responsible to and for each other. What does it mean in thought, word and action when we say we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen? In our New Testament reading, we have Jesus' words of challenge to seek God's kingdom and Jesus' reassurance that God gives us the kingdom. So Rob's now going to read for us that short passage that I mentioned from the prophet Isaiah and that passage from Luke's Gospel that is entitled, Do Not Worry.
The Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 32, verses 14 to 18, Garden of Peace. The fortress will be abandoned, the noisy city deserted. Citadel and watchtower will become a wasteland forever, the delight of donkeys a pasture for flocks. Till the Spirit is poured on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. The Lord's justice will dwell in the desert, his righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace, its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peace dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. And the New Testament from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 22 to 34, do not worry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you of little faith? And do not worry, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all things such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Hymn 181, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Oh,
When I read the passage from Isaiah, it brought to mind a visit I made to Ephesus around 25 years ago. I know that some folk here will have been to Turkey and have visited the site of Ephesus. And if you ever get the chance, if you're ever in Turkey and near that place, it is well worth a visit. Ephesus of the first century was an important city. We know this not least because Paul both visited and wrote to the Ephesians. It was a centre of commerce as a seaport. It was a centre of power, one of the great cities of the Roman Empire. It was a place of great learning. The library at Ephesus was the second greatest library of that time, second only to the great library of Alexandria. But Ephesus fell into ruin. The story is that it was prone to silting, and it was surrounded by a lot of marshland. And as that kind of took over, the rich folk left first, followed by those coming down the scale, till finally the poorest of people abandoned the city, and it was just, it fell down and was covered by soil and whatever. I'm not sure where they've got to now, but I think when Derek and I were there, they'd only excavated about 10% of it, which was the important buildings in the centre. I'm sure we will all have visited the ruins of a place that was once a symbol of power, of wealth and prestige. This might have been castles or palaces, cathedrals or abbeys, or perhaps the fortifications of an empire long gone. Maybe you've walked Hadrian's Wall, or at least seen part of it. Sometimes we try to imagine these places when they were at the height of their power. But those who occupied those places of wealth, prestige and power probably could not imagine those places as the ruins that we see in our day and age. Isaiah paints a picture of human pride brought low. That which is founded on human pride is destined to fail. The works of the great and powerful, now a delight for donkeys and pasture for sheep. Then there is that which is built by God. Here we find desolation transformed, and rather than symbols of power and wealth, that which tells of blessing and provision. And all of this founded on justice and righteousness, leading to a harvest of peace. Isaiah is addressing those who believe that they are secure by right. They are God's people. The problem is they've forgotten their call to live a life of faith. And so the fortress and the city, the citadel and the watchtower, these measures of national prestige will come to nothing. Things like that are almost always built on the kind of power that oppresses, and Isaiah is well known for speaking out against corrupt leadership and in support of the disadvantaged. The power of God is depicted as establishing the land overflowing with harvest and the people living at peace, the kind of peace that comes from righteousness. This is the peace that brings quietness and confidence, security and rest. What we have presented to us in this Old Testament reading is a contrast between what human pride constructs and what God creates. The symbol for the season of creation 2025 is a disc divided vertically, and on one side there is a desert and a tree that is clearly dead but split right down the middle, and on the other side a tree in full leaf and rolling hills depicting a land of plenty. How the artist visualizes the passage from Isaiah. When we turn to our New Testament reading from Luke's Gospel, we have a passage which can seem a bit naive in our materialist society. Many people then, and many people now, live without the surety of knowing that they will be fed and without most of the basics of life. There are many people without these things in the world today. Is Jesus saying, well, we shouldn't worry about that? If we compare Jesus' words with Isaiah's vision and message, there are striking parallels. Instead of the fortress and city, citadel and watchtower as a false security, we tend to have wealth of possession. We have a tendency in our materialist society to think that our security lies in what we have. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and saying, what you have is a gift of God. Don't worry about these things. Worry rather about being true to God. The mistake we could make in reading a passage like this is to think that Jesus is presenting a kind of passive acceptance that God will provide. What Jesus is asking of his disciples is that they have faith in God's provision such that their concern is obedience to God, because faith is never passive. Another mistake might be to think that this is a command to actively not worry. Now, if I waggle my finger at you this morning and tell you, you've not to worry, and you decide, well, the minister's spoken, so I better not worry, well, the likelihood is that is going to become an extra worry, because you're worrying about worrying when you've been told not to worry, so you've added that worry to the other worries. It's a bit like that moment in the early hours of the morning when you wake up and your mind is going round and you're saying to yourself, come on, Norman, just go to sleep. And the more you argue with yourself, the wider awake you become, so you don't go to sleep. The key phrase here is that we are to seek God's kingdom. But that's not meant to be a worry, because Jesus goes on with words of reassurance. We can possibly imagine the disciples struggling with this idea that they're not to worry about what they eat and what they wear, and thinking, well, you know, we've got to provide and we've done, you know, all the things that go through your head. To these worried folk, Jesus assures them that they don't need to be afraid. God is pleased to give you the kingdom. There is something here that contradicts the popular idea that how we live our lives on this earth is the exam for a future in heaven. Jesus isn't saying, do all these things and eventually you'll earn your place in heaven. He's saying, God is pleased, has been pleased, to give you the kingdom. We have already talked today to God about the kingdom. We've said the words of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Prayer is never a kind of hope for, a kind of almost vain hope, well, hope God does something about this. It's saying we will work for the kingdom. We are saying, in us the kingdom. Your kingdom come here. And we believe it. Isaiah, in his vision, is talking about a time to come when God's Spirit will be poured out on people from on high. God has poured out his Spirit. That's part of our Easter story, the fulfillment of God's promise, of Jesus' promise to his disciples. And at the Ascension, he says, wait for the Spirit, and at Pentecost, the Spirit is poured out. The kingdoms or empires of this earth are measured by geography, money, military might, influence. The kingdom of God is measured by faithfulness to God and founded on the kind of peace that means justice and just relationship. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. The kingdom of God, all that we are and have and see around us and don't see around us, all of it, seen and unseen, belongs to God. As part of creation, we belong to this earth. As God's people, we are called to care for creation. The beginning of the book of Genesis tells us that God made us in his own image. At every stage of creation, however we understand that process of creation or the words about creation, the beginning of Genesis, God saw that it was good. We are called to reflect the love of God in every part of our living and live love in every one of our relationships. We are called to justice and to righteousness and to the peace that God offers. We are to be at peace with God. That is what Jesus brings us. Because we are at peace with God, we are to be at peace with each other. We are to look at every person as made in the image of God. And absolutely, and of course, we are meant to look at the world of nature, the things seen and unseen, as that which is made by God and in God's grace given into our care, so that we are at peace with creation. Through this month, we're going to be thinking about some of those themes that are to do with this season of creation. And it's good that we do so in the month that leads up to Harvest Thanksgiving, where we reconnect and say that we love this earth and we appreciate the gifts of the earth and, of course, the people who work the earth for our benefit. Before we turn to our prayers for others, we're going to sing Judge Eternal, Throned in Splendor, hymn number 264.
Thank you.
prayers for others this Sunday, I'm going to be using a prayer written by Rosie Frew, the moderator of General Assembly, written for this season of creation. So most of the words, or a lot of the words, are Rosie's, but some of them are my edit. So let's turn to God with our prayers for others. Creator God, let there be peace on earth. One world, living in harmony, caring for one another, delighting in the wonders around us, tending your creation. Let there be peace on earth, and yet ours is a world at war, a world of enmity and hatred, a world of greed and destruction, a world of hunger and homelessness. God, forgive us. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. Our words and actions, our priorities and passions, our love for our neighbours nearby and far away, our care for land and air and sea. God, help us. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be, a world of justice and joy, a world of fairness and respect, a world of kindness and compassion, a world of plenty for all. God, for this we pray. Hear us now as we pray for those things that weigh heavily upon us, because we love, and in loving, know that we share your compassion. We name before you places and peoples. We name before you those who suffer injustice and live in fear. We name before you those who are the peacemakers and the aid givers. We name before you those who comfort the bereaved, care for the injured, bind up the brokenhearted, give hope to the hopeless. We remember our brothers and sisters in Christ, the church that bears Jesus' name, serving and caring, living your kingdom in the kingdoms of earth. And so now, here in your presence, we bring these things to you, naming those that are our personal burden of prayer, asking you to hear our cry as we take a moment of quiet to lay before you that which is upon our minds and in our hearts. Lord of creation, to you be all praise. Lord of love, we receive your blessing. Lord of compassion, we trust in your promise that what we ask in Jesus' name, you will surely answer. Accept our prayers and requests. In Jesus' name, Amen. We sing now hymn number 738, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, and remain with you always.